Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time for a great conversation supporting faithful family life. We've got some good stuff lined up for today. You know, it's summer here, although it doesn't feel like it a whole lot. It's beautiful summer here. It's 71 here in St. Louis, and around the country, in other parts of the country, we've got beautiful weather. 66 in parts of Indiana right now. A beautiful day, and we're going to talk about some ways you can enjoy this beautiful summer, whether it's nice weather like this or maybe not so nice weather. Maybe it's 100 degrees where you are. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Some last minute ideas for family activities for this summer. So we're going to talk with Jackie Meyer. She's been on before. We're going to bring her back and talk about some ideas for your family and how you can enjoy this summer together as a family. Also in the second half, we're going to check in with some friends from Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska. They have a fatherhood specialist there. What is that? What is a fatherhood specialist? What does he do? And how does he help families? How do they help families be healthy? So we're going to talk with them in a little while as well. Hope you can join us for both conversations today here on Faith and Family. I'd like to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. You can find out more about them by going to our website, kfuo.org, and you'll find information on them in the sponsor section. Just look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section there. Well, as promised, joining us by phone today, Jackie Meyer. She's a home educator and a mom extraordinaire, planning all kinds of great things for their family. When I follow her on Facebook and get to talk with her in person, I'm always envious of all the fun things that they do as a family. So, Jackie, welcome back to Faith and Family. Glad to get to talk with you again.
Thank you. It's great to be with you again.
Now, we're talking about today, we're going to talk about last minute ideas for activities for your family. We recently got to see each other at an activity that was not a last minute activity, 5 years in the planning, although some of it might have been planned at the last minute. Jackie and I were, and my wife and I and others, our spouses all served as staff at Camp Luther Haven in Albion, Indiana, and got to spend some time there relaxing this summer. That took some planning to do that in preparation for that. But today we're going to talk about some last minute ideas for activities during the summer. Now, as a home educator, we talked about this just recently. You spend most of the school year, all the school year doing all kinds of educational type things, doing all your planning and prep as a teacher at home. And you take some time off during the summer as a teacher, as a family, to relax, right?
Oh, absolutely. We love the summer in the Meyer house. So that's it's my absolute favorite time of the year. My kids obviously love not being in school. We try to live it up. It's funny because I try to actually plan days where we don't have anything to do because we're so busy, as it seems, during the weekends and during the week too, that the days that we get to stay home actually feel like vacation days too.
It's
good. Well, those are good things to plan in too if you're overly busy, to plan in things not to do, just some downtime. So that's something that I definitely try to put into our schedule as well.
Some people laugh at me because of my obsessive compulsive nature at times about planning for relaxing, or as I call it, planned spontaneity.
Yes. But it's good to be bored too. So there are good things about that. But I feel like my kids don't get to experience that very often because it feels like we're always going. It's this day and that day, and here we've got all these things to do. And when we have a day where we just stay at home, and I have one child that needs that downtime, mm-hmm. and there are kids that need that relaxing, just sit and look at a book or whatever. So we actually have to OCD plan those in too. So.
Well, it can be very taxing. It can be very overwhelming. Families today, with all the opportunities, all the things that are available to us, all the things that quite often we feel like we should be doing, we end up finding ourselves on the run a lot with very structured, very tight schedules, a lot of times taxing back and forth between activities. Right. And so it is important to have some downtime to relax, whether it's at home or relaxing somewhere else.
Right.
Or just having some time to visit together as family.
Right, and just to be together as a family unit, because it does seem like there are a lot of activities, baseball and softball and t-ball and soccer and things like that everyone's going to, but they're not necessarily spending time together at those places. They're going to, watch a sibling or participate in a sport, but as a family unit, you're not necessarily going as a family to enjoy family time at those places. So it is important to put in that family time that where you're all together doing an activity.
Which gives you time to communicate, whether it's on the drive there, time to, like, if you're taking a road trip, you have time to visit in the car and talk about things that you might not necessarily in other places.
Right.
And sometimes it might just be the destination you get to. You have time to visit as a family or explore something new and get to discover something new altogether as a whole family.
Right. Right.
So what are the key things, what's key when seeking out last-minute activities for families? Because, you know, some of us might plan out some really cool vacation ideas, but some of us might need some ideas for last-minute stuff.
Sure. Well, I like to keep in mind the ages and the attention spans of the kids that are going.
And the adults.
Right. And the adults. That's a good point, too. But I have kids that are ages 3 to 11 at this point. And so, you know, we really have to take into consideration the fact that we have toddlers. And we have older kids that want to do more fun and adventurous things. But I have a 3-year-old as well that I need to make sure that she's not overwhelmed with what we're doing with the older kids. And honestly, a lot of times we actually will find a babysitter for our 3-year-old because, you know, if we are doing something that requires either more walking or it's not age appropriate, we went to just a little water park near our house. Well, it's about an hour away, I guess, but a few weeks ago. And honestly, it's just not fun to be at a water park with a 3-year-old unless, you know, to be able to enjoy that time with the older kids as well. And it's not that she wouldn't have enjoyed it. You know, we just wanted to really have fun with our older kids, and to have to split that time up, you know, it makes it a little more challenging. So probably next year she'll get to go with us. It will be more appropriate for her at that point. But, you know, when we've got big slides and things like that to go on, it's just not, she's not going to enjoy herself the way that the older kids will. And we will have to limit them then to take her with us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so occasionally we will leave her at home or with, you know, grandparents or friends.
Not home by herself.
Right, not at home by herself. No, definitely not. That would not be pretty when we got home, I'll tell you that. But so it's easier to do things with older kids and teens,
sure,
than it is with babies and toddlers. So you just have to kind of say, what can we do? And there are things that you can do all together for sure. You just have to plan those. And I always say, have a plan, but keep it simple. It's more fun to do one activity, in my opinion, than to have a day that's jam-packed with lots and lots of busyness, because kids get tired and worn out, especially younger kids. And if I put too many things in one day, I end up with these cranky, tired, no fun kids, and then it turns into what was fun is not fun anymore. So you kind of have to, you know, keep those boundaries in check. We take the appropriate gear with us. We, you know, if you're going to be in the sun, sunscreen. If you're going to be in the woods, you need bug spray. I always, always, always take drinks and snacks, because everyone gets hungry and thirsty, and it's always easier to have them ready so that you don't have to go in search of them. And it's cheaper that way, too, because we're kind of a frugal family.
Well, and that allows you then more opportunity if you save money on those things. And that's where a lot of places will charge a premium is on snacks and especially on beverages.
Sure.
Now, granted, some places won't allow you to bring in your own beverages or snacks. But
you can have them in the car, too.
Right.
I mean, just like when I was just talking about this water park, the parking was so close, and we just took our lunch with us. You can eat it. They have like a grassy area that you can eat. And a lot of places, you know, they don't mind if you eat it outside. They just don't want you to bring it in. You're absolutely right. But yeah, if you want to, you know, pack a little cooler and take it with you, if you've got that access, that's the way to go. I mean, again, we're very frugal in our house, so that saves us a lot of money. And when you're multiplying, you know, $5, $6 meals times 5 and 6,
sure,
it gets expensive. So
that could be the difference between you getting to go to the water park and something else on another day.
Absolutely.
Or by packing your own lunch, probably, or packing your own snacks and drinks, which you can probably do for what? For your family.
Yeah. Oh, just dollars. I mean, really. I mean, just a few dollars. What we can probably pack a whole meal for, you know, what we would pay for one or two meals out. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it really is worth it to me to put in that extra effort. And we let our kids help with that. We definitely help prepare. I always say many hands make light work, and it's true. And, you know, my kids are at the ages now where they really can, my older kids can make their own sandwiches and help pack drinks and help pack snacks and things like that. And it just makes it so much easier on me as I'm trying to gather the things that I need to gather for everyone. Everybody helps load up, and it gives them some ownership in it. They can understand how much work it is to get everybody ready for the day. And when we get home, I say, let's take 5 minutes and unload and put things away. And if we do that, it makes me want to be able to do it again instead of getting home and thinking, oh, that was just exhausting.
That was a lot of work.
And,
yeah.
You know, it is a lot of work, but, yeah. And we let our kids help choose what we do too. When we're doing anything last minute or you know, even planned ahead, we say, what are some of your ideas? And it gives them some ownership in it. And when you're, you know, playing to their interests, it makes them more excited and more involved, and it just can be a lot more fun. And if you have older kids, they can help plan and research it too. So if there's some things, you know, if you're going out of town or something like that.
Now, when you mentioned a water park, when you go to a water park with your family, how, you know, sometimes it's really easy to get split up in places like that. Mm-hmm. How do you all work that when you go to a water park?
Well, when we went 2 weeks ago, I think, and my husband didn't go with us this time. One of my friends went along, and we took all of our kids, and we made them buddy up. And we kept having kind of meeting places where we'd say, okay, you can be in this area together. If you move areas, come check in with us and let us know. And we would tell them where we would be, you know.
I'll be on the lazy river.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. They had a lazy river. We said, are you going to be on the big slides, the lazy river? Are you going to be in the big wave pool or just swimming in the main spot? And we both, both my friend and I, whom I went with, we both had 6-year-olds, I think, and so we were with our 6-year-olds most of the time because they were just swimming and playing together, and then our older kids would go to the lazy river by themselves or the big slides. And the place where we went, it was a smaller park, water park, so really you could probably find your kids just about any time, so that made it nice. And that's something to consider too: how big of a place do you want to go, and how much freedom do you want to give your kids? And and we had set some ground rules ahead of time, and that helps. I mean, ground rules definitely help. We had told them ahead of time, we are going to be leaving at 5:00, you know, we'll have one snack while we're there. And see, we did take our lunch, but I gave my kids each like $4, and I said, you can buy some snacks. And they had reasonably priced snacks here. So I gave them each $4. I said, you can buy whatever you want, but when your money's gone, it's gone. Don't ask for more, you know. So that worked well.
Sure. Just setting the expectations before you get there. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah, if you're going to a festival or something like that that has rides, having your kids know it ahead of time, look, we're going to do one ride or we're going to do two rides or whatever it is. That way, you know, there's not a question when you get there and they're begging to ride every single thing and that kind of thing.
Okay, so water park, one of your favorites. What are some of your other favorites that you enjoy during the summer?
Well, we do park day every week with a group of our friends, which is a whole lot of fun. We all go, and there's just like 50 kids. And I mean, it's probably not that many, but it really is. There are probably 20, 30 on a good day, that kind of thing. There are several moms that get together, and we go to the park. And that's something that you can do as a family in the evening, if the parents work, or, you know, during the day if you are able to go out. And we visit several different parks, and that's kind of fun too. There are so many things that, as I was thinking through these last minute things, there are so many of the same thing throughout your towns usually, where at least we live near Fort Wayne, which is a pretty big city. And anybody that lives near a big city is going to have lots of park options,
sure,
library options, splash pad options, things like that. And you could easily make up a little passport, like we're going to visit all these places and you get a sticker each time or something like that, you know, when we go to these places to say that we visited them. And I think that's a really cool thing to do, be it, like I said, a library or a park or whatever, and to be able to explore those different places. And it's just kind of neat. So.
Now, what do you do when you go to a park, maybe a new park that you've never been to or one that you've returned to?
Well, you know, the kids just enjoy being together, playing on the playgrounds, and some parks have trails and things like that that you can walk through. It's neat to see. One of the parks that we go to now fairly regularly that we hadn't gone to is an older park, actually. I didn't even know that it was in our city until probably 2 years ago, maybe three. And it's called Lions Park, and there's this great statue of this lion that the kids can climb on, and it's really an old park, and there are huge trees all through it, and it's just beautiful compared to newer parks. A lot of newer parks, they don't have any trees because they're new, and mm-hmm. so it's just kind of neat to see and walk around and see what's there. So we do things like that.
So out climbing on lions and things like that.
It's dangerous. Very dangerous where we live. But we go to the zoo. We have a great zoo here. We look for complimentary and free activities. We do parades. Our church has a picnic every year. We always go to that. My husband's employer does a company picnic every year. I love to get in on those kind of free things that mm-hmm. that we don't have to pay for, but we can still, you know, reap the benefits of, and things like that. I remember when I was a kid, my mom used to take us canoeing probably once a month in the summer, and we would go to the state park. Actually, it's Chain of Lakes right there by Camp Luther Haven, where we are mm-hmm. where we're from. But we would go there, and we would rent canoes and that kind of thing. And I always think, man, that would be fun to do with my kids. Boy, that was a lot of work that my mom put in. but I think, you know, they would love that kind of thing. And we're very fortunate in our family. Both my husband's parents and my parents have lake houses, so my kids rarely know a weekend without the lake around here. But you know, if you have friends and family that have lakes and invite you up, take advantage of that. That's something that my kids always love doing.
So some relaxing time on the lake, getting out and canoeing. And I noticed, you know, when I was out at when we were out at Camp Luther Haven recently, just getting out on the lake, you know, there was some exercise involved in this, which was good. But also, I had forgotten that, you know, just being out on the lake gives you a chance to sit back and take in all the wildlife around you, too. Mm-hmm. You know, you think, and I was thinking about the technical things, you know, trying not to fall out of the kayak and things like that. But being out on the lake also gave me the chance to see a family of osprey that, you know, I don't get to see every day when I'm going from my car to work and, mm-hmm. you know, going from home to the car. From the car to work and into the building and in the studio and that sort of thing.
Right.
Turkey vultures maybe, but but not osprey. And so that was nice just to take a few minutes to sit back and watch the osprey as they were the adults were taking care of the young, feeding the young, and just seeing that happen. It was cool to sit back and watch God's creation and enjoy it. Something that you don't get to see every day.
Right, and we see up at the lake, we will see there will be these branches sticking out of the water where like a tree has fallen down, and these turtles, I kid you not, by 10, 20, 30 of them, they'll just be lined up along these on these fallen trees, and they are so neat to watch. They're just sunning themselves. They love to sit in the sun, and my kids just think it's the coolest thing to, they count all the turtles on the logs, and it's neat to be able to see that and explore that and see what kind of what the patterns are of some animals that you don't necessarily get to see every day.
All right, so parks and lakes, a lot of those things are free things, mm-hmm. or, you know, like you mentioned, if family members have places for you to visit,
yep.
Take advantage of that.
Yep.
Other places that are favorites for you?
We've talked about some outdoor activities. There are some indoor activities, too, that we definitely can try to hit sometimes, and we do a lot of these during the school year too, but in the summer if it's raining or if it is 100 degrees and too hot to go outside, museums are great places to go. A lot of restaurants and businesses will give tours if you just call up and ask.
That's a cool
idea. Kind of fun, like if you wanted to go watch how they make pizza that, you know, somewhere, or we have some candy shops in our area that give tours all the time, and I know in Fort Wayne, anyway, during the year they do Be a Tourist in Your Own Town weekend,
uh-huh.
where everything's free those weekends, but that would be a place to get some good ideas of indoor activities that you could do, too, or visit. There are lots of places that do summer movies for kids, where it'll just be a dollar or two to get in. and be able to watch some of the more recent kid movies that have been out. Again, the library is a great place to visit, and the library a lot of times has lots of activities during the day too, where they'll bring in, you know, maybe a petting zoo of some sort, or they'll bring in a magic show, or science activities, art activities, that kind of thing. That's a great place to find things to do. Bowling is a great idea. Even to go out to lunch at a local hole-in-the-wall type restaurant,
sure,
that you haven't been to before is always fun. And lots of restaurants have specials during the week. Lots of them have Kids Eat Free or Kids Eat Discounted, especially like on Mondays and Tuesdays. Those are really popular days. There's a website called mykidseatfree.com, and you can go on there and type in your city and state, and they'll tell you all the places in your area that kids eat free.
So wow.
It's kind of cool. Yeah.
I was not aware of that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, mark that one down. It's a good one. And that's great for if you're going out of town
right.
vacation, too. So, yeah, it's easy to find places. And there might be places, again, that you've never been to that are fun places to go.
So you've given us some ideas of things that you all enjoy. Trips or activities that you planned, whether last minute or planned in advance, that just were flops, that that have perhaps turned into memories.
Well, it's kind of funny. You and I have talked before about us going to Disney, and I spent hours and hours planning for Disney, and we get there, and my 8-year-old is terrified of everything there. I mean, not everything, but anything that's dark, loud, or scary. Now, I knew she had kind of this fear of dark and loud, and but I didn't realize to what extent until you go to a place like this that is full of loud, dark, and surprise type things. She doesn't like surprises. She likes to know what she's getting into ahead of time, and that was a shock to us, and we really had to kind of reorganize our trip while we were there based on being there with her. And it wasn't that we had to reorganize everything, but there were just certain things that we said, we can't do this as a family. One of us is going to have to sit out. And they're really kind there at Disney. They do this parent swap where you can easily, you know, mm-hmm. one parent goes and then the other parent goes and that kind of thing. But, you know, I guess really you have to take those things into account when you're going there. So that was probably our biggest flop, but you know, it was fun. We had a great time still, and we laughed about it, and she got to the point where she thought it was funny too, that, you know, we'd joke about, oh, do we want to go on this? No. And we would we kind of, you know, it turned into good natured banter, and she laughs about it now, but it was a little terrifying when we went on our first went into our first show that was a little bit scary, and so keep that in mind.
Yeah, a lot of theme parks. Yeah, as part of the theatrical element, it's very dark in there, and might be very loud, and other things that appeal to the senses that might not be so appealing to younger senses.
Right, and that's, you know, you think about going to any. I don't know if you guys have amusement parks near you, but we have several within driving distance of us. That are really fun, but she is just not a roller coaster adventure kind of a person. That's not her personality. So we will definitely be taking that into account if we decide to go to, you know, another place similar to that or an amusement park type.
She can come hang out with us because we're not really roller coaster people.
She would love that. That would be her favorite, to sit and play with Oscar.
Well, Jackie, you have shared some great ideas, and unfortunately, our time is already winding down.
Are
anything?
You kidding?
I know. Anything else you want to share with us before we wrap up our time?
Well, I just have a few other quick ideas that I can give you.
Sure.
Backyard tent camping is great.
Local
art projects. There always seem to be ones, especially in the tiny towns you don't expect. Fun things that you can do. Picnic, breakfast, lunch, or dinner at the park. Breakfast is fun. My kids love to go to the park.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's just simple, but they love it. Stargazing at night, berry picking at local farms. So it's always fun. Farmers market, they think it's awesome to go visit those. I saw online the other day this glow stick party that people had, like just from, you know, glow sticks from the dollar store. You can get like, mm-hmm. I don't know, 5 or 10 a pack, and just to set them out around their glasses and things like that at night. I thought that'd be a fun, like, late night snack to do, like, at 10 o'clock at night or something
sure.
like that. My kids would think I was the coolest mom ever if I did that. And free outdoor movies. I just went last night down in Fort Wayne to a free outdoor movie, and it was a blast. I didn't take my kids. They get to go in a couple weeks. But it doesn't start till late, so it's better for older kids. But, yeah, just real fun. You know, keep things simple. Bring snacks and drinks. Enjoy the time with your kids. Make it fun. It's special because they love just having fun with their family.
Absolutely. All great ideas. Thanks so much, Jackie. We appreciate your time and sharing your ideas with us.
No problem.
God's blessings. Take care.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got that conversation with Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska. Hope, listeners, you can join us for that as well. Stick around for more Faith and Family after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Semantics is the art of using words to disguise or detract from what is perceived to be a negative situation. For example, don't call someone fat. They're a nutritional overachiever. The abortion industry wants you to call their abortionist abortion providers because it sounds positive, but don't be misled. I don't call my cardiologist a heart care provider. I don't call my urologist a urinary tract care provider. We don't call a podiatrist a foot care provider, and we don't call a proctologist, well, you get my point. Abortionists aren't worthy of the name of doctor or provider because they're hired to kill innocent preborn children. Doctors or providers don't kill, they heal and nurture. So use the medically correct term and call them what they truly are, abortionists.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Philip ran to the Ethiopian and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" Like the Ethiopian eunuch, there are millions of people around the world who want to understand what the Bible says, but they need someone to guide them. The Lutheran Heritage Foundation translates books like Luther's Small Catechism, which opens Scripture's meaning. Help introduce people to the Savior. LHFmissions.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Do this again.
You'll do what I say, Clapham.
Clapham has an unusual father, a father who makes him steal.
I'll distract the clerk. You swipe him.
But Clapham also has an unusual friend named Harry.
You can't imagine what God has planned for you. He's going to use you to do great things.
But this friendship meets the ultimate test when Clapham is forced to steal from Harry's family. The Boy of Mount Rigi on the next Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks so much for joining us today as we are talking about topics pertinent to faithful family life. And we have two guests joining us today by phone from Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska. Joining us by phone, Bev Carlson. She's the Director of Public Relations for Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska. Good morning, Bev. Thanks for being our guest this morning.
Good morning, Andy. Thanks so much for inviting us.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to talking about what Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska has to offer. Also joining us by phone today, Dwan Johnson. He's Fatherhood Specialist at Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska. Good morning, Dwan.
Hey, good morning, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Looking forward to talking about what it means to be a fatherhood specialist. I think this is a first for Faith and Family, and I'm really excited about it.
All right, thanks.
Tell us, Bev, tell us, what is Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska all about? Tell us about the history of Lutheran Family Services and where you serve and all those good things.
You said we only have, what, 25 minutes? I love talking about this organization. It's a fabulous organization to work for. Lutheran Family Services is a crucial part of Nebraska, and we've been here for 122 years. We were founded in 1892 as an orphanage, actually two orphanages. Reverend Peter Grace founded an orphanage in Fremont when he found himself in charge of a couple of orphans and began to see the need to give children a safe place to go when they had lost their parents. And so what has happened over time, over the past 122 years, is that LFS has now grown into a statewide organization, and we serve children pretty much any aspect of what a child may need as far as foster care. We do foster care adoption services. We work with children who've been sexually abused. We work with children who have behavioral issues and their families. Just really across the board, we work with kids. And then we also, we call that one of our core competencies, children's services. And then we have two others. One of them is, the second one is behavioral health. And we do a lot of therapy, addiction treatment, substance abuse treatment, medication management, all of those kinds of things across the state of Nebraska. We served about 5,000 people last year, including the newest program in behavioral health is the work that we do with veterans and their families, a program called At Ease. And we work with those who are dealing with PTSD, traumatic brain injury, those kinds of things. And that program is continuing to grow. We offer that across the state as well. And then our third core competency is community services. And that is the work that we do with international populations in Nebraska. We are the largest refugee resettlement organization in the state. Last year, we helped resettle about 605 people from some of the most violent parts of the world, and they are now living here in Nebraska. We help them become self-sufficient very quickly, and then they just become part of our state. Because of that, our staff speaks about 35 languages and dialects, which is really cool. So that's a very quick overview of LFS. We are a recognized service organization of the LCMS, and I'm very proud to do that work. And I could go on for a really long time. I'll stop there, but that is a really good overview of LFS. So.
Sure. Well, Dwan, tell us about the families in your community that you serve.
Well, the families in the community that I serve, they wouldn't call it crisis, but they're living according to the means and the standards that they kind of set for themselves. So, you know, when I see fatherhood specialists, I'm thinking of more so of going in and installing tools into the families that they didn't believe that they had, you know, exposing, you know, their strengths for which they think are weaknesses. So, you know, the families just need just a little bit of push, unconditional, unbiased ear to really get them going and getting motivated to be a part of society. I believe, you know, where we see it as a crisis or a blight, they just see it as natural life. You know, just kind of get their expectations set a little bit higher and, you know, to kind of figure out where do you want to correlate your life and your family.
And Bev, how would you describe the needs of the community?
Well, you know, Nebraska is one of those states that actually fared pretty well in the recession. We never started seeing a lot of those horrible unemployment numbers that other parts of the country saw. We have a very diverse economy, and that has made that a very positive thing. But there are parts of the state, especially in Omaha, where there are some very deep pockets of poverty, and some of the, especially for African American children, we really, the statistics that came out years ago really pushed us along in developing programming for those families that have gone into a lot of different areas. And the position that Dwan holds as fatherhood specialist is part of that. We have
as we had talked earlier, we have what we call Centers for Healthy Families. We have three of them. One of them in Fremont, that's actually on the original site of the first orphanage, which we think is very cool. And then we have one in Council Bluffs, which is just across the river in Iowa. And then a couple of years ago, we opened one in North Omaha, which is right in the part of town where some of that highest concentrations of poverty are located. And what we do in our Centers for Healthy Families is that we work, really do one-on-one case management, I guess would be the right word, but we really just work one-on-one with young families that have children under the age of five, and we help them really learn to be parents and learn how appropriate discipline works and how to bond with their children and those kinds of things. And the carrot, so to speak, is an incentive program that we operate that gives these young families can come in and they earn points for positive things that they do for their children, like take them to church or read to them at night or let them go to vacation Bible school or take them to the zoo or whatever. You know, there's a whole booklet of positive suggestions of things that they can earn points for, and then they take those points and they go into these little boutique stores that we have set up at the centers that have really critical things that they need for their kids, like diapers and car seats and playpens and, you know, baby wipes and clothes and winter appropriate shoes and coats and things like that. And they're able to, and everything that's in the little boutique is for the child. So that is a real budget relief for some families, because what we find with these, the ultimate goal of these centers is to prevent child abuse and neglect. And you know, what we have tried to do is go in and really address those risk factors, the financial stress, the parent that really has had no one to show them how to lovingly parent a child. And we work with those families to help teach them those behaviors. And the like I said, the little incentive program is really a way to get them in the door and help them and immediately start relieving some of that financial pressure that they might feel. One of the highest risk for child abuse is a baby that sits in a diaper all day. You'll hear, you know, anyone that advocates for diapers to make sure that families in poverty have diapers. But that child's going to sit there. Not only is that child going to be horribly uncomfortable, crying and fussing, you know, it's going to irritate the parent. The parent's going to feel guilty that they can't afford to get a diaper for the child. You know, those kinds of things. And just something as simple as making sure that they have an adequate supply can make a difference in that risk to that child's health. So anyway, that's just one of the types of incentives that we use to engage these families. And then we also offer to them parenting classes, very intensive parenting classes, classes on poverty. You know, why are you in poverty? What can you do to get out of poverty? We in the program that Dewan's involved in North Omaha, we work with a lot of pregnant and parenting teenagers. And so hence where the fatherhood program comes in. But so one of the things that we really, really focus on with them is helping them make sure to get their degrees, making sure they get their high school diploma, making sure they and really encouraging them to go on and go to the metro or go on and further their education, all with the goal that they're going to be able to become productive members of the society and make it better for their kids in the long run as well, and really build up that family unit. So,
Dewan, how important are fathers in healthy family life?
Well, fathers are, what I'm going to say, we want to get the elevator of life. You know, look at your family, and we're going to go up the elevator of life. You got the absent fathers, you got the once-a-month fathers, you got the weekend fathers, you got the holiday fathers, you got the joint fathers, and then you got the 100%ers. So you want to look at these families and judge yours according to where they're at, and see where do you want your family to get off at according to their success. Now, do you see your success as part of being an absent father success, or a joint father, or the father that's there full time? So you got to figure out where do you want your family to be at, and kind of judge and correlate your growth and your trajectory, where you want to take your family to according to those standards and those beliefs. You know, with any good job, the core values are hard working, being determined, self-sufficient at times, having an unconditional ear, being able to talk to people, just networking. And then you want to look at that from perspective, see where is my family at, and where the father comes in. He provides that balance along with the mother to make sure the family is moving according to that elevator. So, you know what, this is where our family's going to be at. You know, we want to be the Bill Cosby's out here. We want to be this family. We want to be this family. You know, and set your goals according to how can I be a Huxley, you know. And that's where the fatherhood comes in, is we want to teach the fathers to have, you know, have patience. Mm-hmm. You know, I give the fathers an unconditional, unbiased ear to just interject positivity. You know, one of the things that's hard for the fathers now is finding somebody who can just talk with them and just give them a peace of mind. You know, and not judge according to where they're at or where they're being, and see the man for who they can be in the future. You know, if you see him for where they are right now, then that man is going to be there forever. But if you see him for the man he's going to be in the future, he has a goal, he has a mindset that this guy really sees me as being something in life. I can be whatever I dream of, and I can take it there. So the fatherhood specialist and being a father, they go hand in hand of just being there for each other and giving us that strong shoulder to lean on.
Have you found that men are sometimes reluctant to accept support or help just because we're just as part of our nature as men?
The fear of failure and, you know, being put in an awkward position,
mm-hmm.
it causes that fear of I want help. You know, nobody wants to be that person in the room where they say, well, you're not living according to the social norm. So we just sit back and we don't say anything because we don't say nothing. Nobody can judge you and say, this is how he feels, and this is his perspective. There's nothing down for you to be concrete and held accountable for. So if we don't ask for help, we don't have to do anything, and we can sit in that role of complacency and live on easy street.
So how do you work around that? How do you deal with that that complacency? How do you overcome some of those walls, those barriers to reach fathers and to be helpful to them?
You know, it's a humbling approach where you teach the fathers that failure is okay. And by having somebody with an unconditional, unbiased ear, you can go talk and say, you know what, I tried this and it didn't work. And that same person just looks at you with encouragement and say, you know what, we all make mistakes. That's not going to change the future or your projected future, because along the way of anybody's success, there's going to be failures. You have millionaires, billionaires who have filed bankruptcy. That didn't stop them for their goals. They just decided, you know what, I had one setback. I learned that this doesn't work. And to have somebody just instill some values, some core, deep-rooted values of saying that I can become something despite of my failures. My failures are a part of my success. A lot of people don't understand that failure is what creates success. So to teach the fathers that, you know, you are making a mistake, it's okay. I'm here, we're going to work this thing together. Now, I may not have all the right answers. You may not have all the right answers. But if you work with somebody that will show you how to go find the answer that you need, you'll build those tools in life that you can pass on for future generations.
Tell us about your background, how you became a fatherhood specialist.
Well, I've been working with adolescents and teens and at group homes for about roughly 10 years. At the group home level, a lot of truancy, addiction, multi-disorders, and just getting familiar with working with teens who was going through situations or problems in their life, and then dealing with the family. And so that kind of led me into, you know, my later years of being a family liaison, where I go into the schools now. And then I started seeing that in a more professional, intimate relationship with the families, of sitting in meetings and seeing how these families just cannot relate to what's going on in these meetings to make the child successful. It's not that they don't want to be successful. It's that they don't know how to be successful. And just to sit there and talk with this family and say, you know, if you go in with confidence and just listen, don't go in with an attitude, just relax. Don't go in with your guards up, because nobody's there to attack you. And just giving them that confidence to be calm. And that's kind of what led me into becoming a father specialist. I see there's a need here that the families are not getting. The families are not getting somebody to walk them through the doors and say, you know what, this is the other side. It's okay to come to the other side. It's not scary. The grass is green just as well as on your side of the block. You know, everybody over here is just as friendly as you are. All the things that you made up in your mind, I got to take those irrational thoughts and make them rational for these families. And that's where I see the father specialist as. Grabbing those irrational thoughts and just comparing them to their beliefs and saying, you know what, they're not really all that strong if you really want to look at the core values of everybody that you meet.
When in your work, I'm sure you see a lot of different people and with different backgrounds, different needs. But you've described something I think that's common among all of us, especially as men and fathers, that sometimes we just put up our guard especially when we're encountering someone new or something new. When fatherhood is new to us, we put up our guard, and because maybe we don't know what to expect.
Right.
What is your hope? And I think this is common across the board for men, that just by nature, we quite often are reluctant to accept help. We're guarded about a lot of things when it comes to our vocations as men and as fathers, as husbands. Uh-huh. What's your hope for the work that you're doing? I mean, you're one fatherhood specialist making a difference in Nebraska. What's your hope for the work that you're doing there, and perhaps that it would have an impact beyond there?
I think my hope is that the skills that I want to provide for these families and these fathers is mentor leadership. You know, we're not strong when we're one. You know, we're strong when we have a collective of us doing the same exact or correlate to the same exact standards as we want to see success be built upon. So I want to make sure that when I lead these families or I lead these fathers, I'm putting them in a position where they're obligated, they feel that they're obligated to pass on the message. Now, I don't have to be present for the message to be passed on if I make sure that the person who gets it from me is sufficient enough to make sure that it gets passed on, get the message passed on. So, I come with the mentor leadership skills to say that it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about the message. And the message has got to be loud. It's got to be clear. It's got to be specific. This is what we want to do with our families. This is what we want to do with our fathers. And I'm going to teach the next person. It's not the message doesn't stop with me. That's basically what I want to see and hope that it gets accomplished with me being in the fatherhood specialist. That I provide the leadership skills so that the fathers can teach other fathers, and it keeps trickling down.
Bev, tell us about some of the results you've seen with the fatherhood program.
I think the thing that impresses me the most about the fatherhood specialist position is how I've interviewed some of the young men that that have come through that program, and what they all will say is that they finally understand that it's okay, and it takes more courage to be a father and to be a real man. Real men are good dads, and I think that is what has always impressed me the most about that is the LFS leaders that we have in that role have been very successful in taking that message to young men who really don't have any clarity about what it means to be a dad. Maybe their dad was not there, or they never had that strong male role model in their life, or a grandfather or something. Our society's moved so far away from that in many communities. I heard a statistic yesterday that only 3 out of every 10 kids in certain neighborhoods in Omaha even have a father in the home, things like that. And that's very concerning. But what this is what the fatherhood specialist position allows, and what I've seen and heard told to me, is how it helps them see just how much courage it takes to be a real dad to a kid, to get on a floor and play with the kid. Mm-hmm. To roll around, to throw a football, to take that time rather than, acting like that kid's not important and realizing that the child is. And the other part of it that I think is really empowering is once these young men see the difference that they, when they develop that relationship with their child and they walk into a room and that 3-year-old lights up because he's seen his dad, and that young man experiences what that's like for the first time, to have a child respond to you that way, that they're just so happy to see you just because you're their dad and you got on the floor and played with him the last time he saw you. That to me is the coolest thing ever. And so those are the kind of results I've seen. I know in the past we've had as many as 50 young men in that fatherhood program, and I think the thing that's really significant is how it really falls in line with a lot of the things that we try to do at LFS, which is early intervention and prevention. We find in so many of our programs, if we can get involved, the earlier we can get involved, the more impact we can have. And, you know, once you set someone on a better direction, and the more impact you can have long term on how, what those outcomes are going to look like. So if you can get with a young man who just became a father and help him see right away how much of a difference he can make in that child's life, that's going to be so much more impactful down the road, not only for him but for his child, than if you, you know, wait until the child is seven and he's already developed a lot of preconceived ideas about, you know, what dads are or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that is another part of it that makes it really significant. So,
Dwan, what do you see or what do you hope for in terms of long-term outcome for these families, not just for the dad, but for the whole family?
It's just having having higher expectations for the future. You know, you can't control your past. You live in the present, but your future is limitless. You know, it's just for these families just to develop a sense of I can achieve as a unit. You know, not living by the statistics, not that, you know, you have to get married, or you, just living within your means, saying that we are a family and our kids are going to be the future of this family, and looking towards the future and just thinking long term. You know, that's what I see.
And really helping families see that there's a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because one of the big things is that, you know, you hear about the cycles of poverty, and the cycle of poverty a lot of time continues because there's no one that steps in and says, wait a minute, there is a different way to do this. You don't just have to be part of the system. You don't just have to do this and this and this. You can achieve. You can be somebody. And that, to me, is what Dwan and the team in the North Omaha Center are so amazing at doing, is being able to show young families who many of them have experienced trauma, they've seen violence, they've gone through, someone they love has been killed, or they've seen things, just things that are very difficult to overcome, and but if they can have an organization, you know, or and people like we have at our North Omaha Center that will step in and say, we care. We care about you. We care about your family. We want you to be healthy. We want to help you build a healthy family. And here's how to do it, and show how to do it. Then we really can make a difference in breaking those cycles.
Mm-hmm. With just a minute left, just under a minute left, tell us how our listeners can find out more about Lutheran Family Services in Nebraska.
There's several different ways. Probably the easiest one, Andy, is just our website. We're in the process of rebuilding our website right now, but we're at LFS, Lutheran Family Services, LFSNEB.org, and there's listings of all of our programs and our materials on there. But they're always welcome. If they have specific questions, they can contact me directly, either by phone or by email, and my email is just bcarlson@lfsneb.org, and then my phone number is also on the website. So, I'm happy to answer questions anytime.
Wonderful. Thanks so much. We've been talking with Bev Carlson, Director of Public Relations for Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska. Bev, thanks for being our guest today.
Oh, thanks for having us.
And Dwan Johnson, Fatherhood Specialist at Lutheran Family Services. Dwan, thanks so much for being our guest on Faith and Family.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate the time that y'all have given and the insight to the importance of even in those trauma situations, providing that encouragement and that nurture, that support for families. I appreciate the time. And coming up next, we've got the Bible study right here on Listener Supported Worldwide KFUO. Hope you can join us for that, listeners, as we dig into God's Word. I believe we're getting into a psalm again today. Hope you can join us for that. Stick around for more right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program.
Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.